everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague and friend, Jove Bell. We are Women and Words, where you can find us at womenwords.org. We are the, I guess we're a blog magazine. We talk about what happens on the blog and whatever the fuck else. Right, Jove?
Yes. I like that description. A blog magazine.
No, that's what we're doing. A blogazine. I don't know what the fuck we
are. That makes us sound fancy.
So, woohoo! So, we did try to do a blog last week. It didn't go well.
Oh, you mean a podcast? Podcast. We tried to do a podcast.
That's right. We tried to do a podcast last week, y'all. We tried so hard.
Really hard. We recorded one and it was great. But it turned out to be a blank, empty file. An hour-long, empty file. Like, there was no sound. And then we recorded another one, which wasn't nearly as great, frankly.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed, but whatever.
Then the venue, what's the platform wouldn't let me upload the thing. Like, I tried at least 15 times, and then, you know, one more just for good measure, because I'm like that. I'm obsessive, and I keep, you know, trying to make the thing work. So, it's going to work this week, though. I have no doubt.
It's going
to
totally work.
Mm-hmm.
Tech, like, it makes our lives so much easier. Just kidding, whatever. Anyway. So, Jove, are the kids back at school?
Yeah, isn't that great? It's so wonderful. School started on Tuesday, and Noah and Michael rode the bus for 2 days and then decided that that was no longer acceptable, and now they want to be dropped off at school in the mornings, which, you know, whatever. I don't mind doing. I hate the fact that they ride a bus anyway. And Wyatt, out of the 4 days that he should have been in school, he's missed one because he just had a terrible cold, and that boy doesn't function at all when he has a cold. It's pathetic.
Not many do. I mean, I can't. If I have a really bad cold, it's really hard for me to function.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be a bad cold. It just has to be like a sniffle. Like, he just is like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, he cries, and he's just, there's no...
You're sick, dude.
Yeah, there's no way to make him go to school when he's like that, just because he's distraught. So, yeah, I'm really glad they're back at school. And this week, Michelle, my oldest child, turned 31.
Yee-hoo!
On her birthday, and we were over there eating ice cream cake. And do you know what my grandson did while we were there?
Oh, God, what?
Oh, my God, it's the best thing. Because, you know, he's 10 months old officially, and he's taking steps alone, but he's not walking alone yet. But he's definitely, like, he'll take a few steps. So he's very, very capable of moving himself and manipulating things and doing what he wants to do. So he comes over to me. I was sitting on the couch next to, like, the little side table, and there's a couple of, like, little, like, kid books on the side table. And he, like, climbs up in my lap. And by climbs up, I mean he, like, you know, tries to climb up and then reaches his hands up and demands that I pick him up, right? Mm-hmm. So I do, and he fusses until he gets situated in my lap exactly the way he wants to. And then he reaches for the book and grabs one of the books and held it out to me. Like, he's holding it like, bitch, read me this book, right? So I read him that book, and when I'm done, he, like, pushes it away and then reaches for the next book. And then we sat there, and we read that book. He wanted me to read it to him no less than 4 times through.
Well, thank God he's getting into books.
Yeah, isn't that the coolest thing ever? It's called
amazing.
The Little Yellow Bumblebee.
Ooh.
I know. I've never had a baby demand to have a book read to him before. He wasn't just let me chew on the corners of the book. He was like, you're going to read this thing. And he paid attention. He's like staring at the pictures and following along.
That's cute.
That is cool.
Super.
Even Wyatt, who was, like, obsessed with letters, never did that when he was a baby. Mm-mm.
That is super freaking cute.
Yeah. I, of course, concluded that he's a genius.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah,
duh.
That was my like, immediate and obvious conclusion.
Do we even need to, like, go into this? Duh.
Yeah,
of course he is.
It was one of those, you know, those things where you just get all melty as a parent. Just... You know, my insides turned into goo, and away I went. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I love it.
And then when he was done with the fourth read-through, pushed the book away and demanded that I put him down. So that was that. he's just a cool kid. I like it. I can appreciate anybody who can articulate what their needs are.
That's I love that. In some way, like, it doesn't even have to be verbal. Like, he clearly told you what he wanted and needed without saying it. So, yeah, totally.
Oh, he didn't just, you know. I mean, he was very, like, yeah. There was no doubt at all what he wanted me to do and how much he was not going to accept me not doing it. So it was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, and we fed him. Tara and I went out for Thai food with him on Wednesday.
And
we fed him Thai food for the first time. He had rice noodles and tofu for the first time. It was.
And did he eat it up?
Oh, yeah. He dug it. He absolutely enjoyed it. He wasn't sure about the tofu. Really liked the rice noodles, though. Yeah, I had pad see ew with tofu, and he wasn't quite convinced that tofu was something he should put in his mouth too often.
That's hilarious. Yeah. But he liked the noodles, so yay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know how old I was the first time I tried Thai food? I was in my 30s. Like, seriously.
This is what happens, friends, when you grow up in rural areas.
Yes, you just don't even know. Like, people are like, do you like Thai food? What the fuck is Thai food? Is that like Chinese food? Like, what are you talking about? It's like Asian food. How different could it be? Oh, it's completely different. Yeah, it's a completely different experience. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. God, I love that kid.
We can tell.
I saw this comedian once who had like this bit about tofu, about being vegan, and about how becoming vegan is like the future of the world because, you know, the whole greenhouse gases and, you know, climate change and all that. And so becoming a vegetarian or a vegan is the way we all need to do that in order to save the planet, right? Like, it's one of the steps we need to take. Mm-hmm. But the joke was, she's all like, somebody said to her, well, but it's tofu, and, you know, and she's all, I know, and she's all, listen to the audience, because, you know, it's full of vegans, and she's like, have you guys tasted tofu? Like, you know, why would you want to eat it if you've tasted it? And she goes, neither have I. We've all eaten it. None of us have tasted it. But I'll bump. It was funny. Yeah, I know. It's bad, right? But
oh, my God.
It was funnier when she did it. So, yeah, what did we learn there? If you're not a trained comic, don't try and, you know, mimic somebody else's
bit.
Don't
try to comicize.
Yeah, don't. You'll fuck up somebody else's bit, and then, you know, they'll have to hunt you down and stab you through the eye with their pen.
I really hope a comedian doesn't do that.
Well, if she did, it would only be for, you know, the next bit.
Oh, okay, this is true. You'd then be immortalized in her act.
Yes, but I would not be immortalized in my life
at all. No, just in her act,
completely dead.
Oh,
but,
my God!
You know, whatever.
Holy shit! What the fuck ever? So Joe, we need to do a shout out because we tried to do this shout out twice last week, and for whatever reasons the podcast just didn't take. We need to do a shout out to Jen W.
Yeah, are you going to share the email?
No, because you are.
I am? You got to warn me about these things. This is going to be a bitch please moment. Okay, so Jen W.
I found it. Here we go. Friends, I have it. It says, comment. Dear women in weeds. I mean words. And that's because Jove and I are constantly in the weeds.
Yes.
Thank you for providing the hour of entertainment and information each week on the podcast. Keep on wandering into those weeds. Best to you both, and I look forward to the next Tangent Rich episode. Cheers from a dedicated listener, Jen W., and we do have permission to state her name.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jen, and we really appreciate you standing by. I'm so sad that we could not get that episode up last week because we were in so many weeds. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was good. I felt really good about it.
And I did too. Would have appreciated the weeds too.
I felt really good about it until I realized that none of it had recorded. None.
What the fuck? Oh my God.
Oh well. Fuck that.
Anyway, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, friends. So, and at the end of this show, Joe, we will then do another shout out with your idea for a potential t-shirt. And anyway. So, Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, I got to design that. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that, you know, at the end after we talk about this, the blogazine, if you will. All right, friends, August 27th, we were joined by, let us take a moment of awesome appreciation for Lee Lynch.
Love her.
Love her, y'all. Lee is, for those of you who don't know much about lesbian writing history or herstory, Lee is, I don't even know how to describe, is legend a good word? Or
Trailblazer?
Trailblazer, yes. She's been writing for easily 40 years, 30 years.
Icon?
Icon. That's a good one, too. Yes. And this is her, she writes a column called The Amazon Trail, and a lot of it has to do, I mean, this is how Lee's writing works. Like, she starts with one idea, and you're kind of like, oh, this is really interesting. And so she'll take you on this journey, and then you end up somewhere else. Mm. And you didn't see it coming.
Yeah, she has this beautiful slice of life approach to her writing, because she's, I mean, the whole point of the Amazon Trail is that she has been chronicling her experiences as a butch lesbian throughout her life. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So it's not enough to say, oh, I went to the market and I bought an eggplant. You actually have to give why that's significant in your world because of, you know, the fact that you are a masculine presenting woman, right? And that's exactly. that's what she does. And she does it through this fabulous slice of life where she actually, you experience the whole, like, here's where we started, here's the day I went through, and this is why I started where I was, because this day brought me to this, right? It's mm-hmm. really, really fabulous. She has a gift. She's very talented.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
And before I forget, friends, Lee has books published through Bold Strokes Books.
Yes.
Please, please, for the love of all that is holy, read Lee Lynch's work.
Yes.
I mean, she is the embodiment of, if I would argue, of lesbian herstory. I mean, Lee has lived this life and has seen so much, mm-hmm. and she is so very, very supportive of young queer writers and young queer people in general. Mm-hmm. And she's a beautiful soul, a beautiful spirit, and her writing is phenomenal. So I feel so fortunate that she posts on our blog. I like get so excited every time I see that Lee's got a blog up.
Mm-hmm. Well, she started out, and I don't know if started out is the right word, but back when the ladder was like in its what is the right word that I'm looking for, like,
right,
when it was like really big, she did
it was the only lesbian publication,
yeah,
at the time, and this was during the 60s, friends.
Yeah, and she did the Amazon Trail for them. Like, it was truly groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And now she writes for us. How cool is that shit?
How fucking cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a syndicated column, the Amazon Trail.
Yeah.
And she has influenced generations of lesbian writers, including Karen Callmaker and Rachel Spangler. They have cited her influence, especially regarding the importance of authenticity in lesbian literature.
Ashley Bartlett.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's award-winning. We cannot say enough awesomeness about Lee. So, but to experience Lee, please read her writing. And this will give you a sense as to who she is as a person making her way through the world. This column cracked me up a little bit because Lee is a huge fan of ice cream. Mm-hmm. And again, who isn't, right? I mean, so I love this. The title of this one is The Good Things in Life. And she starts it by saying, as disheartened as I am about all that is going on in our country and on the planet, there are times when I have to appreciate the good things in life. They are often about ice cream. And then she takes us on a little journey. She was at the GCLS in Pittsburgh this past July. And she and her wife and another couple went to dinner at an extremely noisy gastropub that was all about dolled up meat dishes. So it was a relief to get outside to the relative quiet. We searched for an ice cream joint named Millie's, a tiny local favorite, with a line halfway down the block. I tried the Vietnamese coffee, which was your basic coffee ice cream with the addition of tiny dark specks that deepened the flavor without unleashing the bitterness of coffee. It was the best of nights. Two dyke couples holding hands for all to see, catching up with one another after a year of emails. We closed the 2019 Golden Crown Literary Conference dancing with a chorus line of friends.
That's so nice.
Such a beautiful image, right? Mm-hmm. So she and her wife turned it into kind of a trip back east, because I believe Lee is originally from the east, and they now live on the west coast.
Yes.
So they went to New Jersey. They stayed with family, and for dessert, there was ice cream, and this was during a heat wave. Yay! The next morning, they rushed for the train into the city, and her sweetheart, she still refers to her wife as her sweetheart. Mm-hmm. My sweetheart's aunt made us bagels, genuine New York bagels. Crispy outside, soft and warm inside. It had been years since my last real bagel, and there are certain moments I could be lured back to the East Coast. That was one of them.
That is awesome.
So they ended up going to, they went, just spent some time in the city, and then New York, and went to Connecticut, and went to the best donut shop in the area. Then they drove to the best Chinese restaurant. Then they've been, they had some great egg rolls, and then they went to try the quote-unquote best ice cream ever. Wentworth Homemade Ice Cream in Hamden, Connecticut is worth the trip from the Pacific Northwest.
I believe it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to, I don't know about that. I'll have to give it a shot.
I believe.
And then she says, they went to Katz's Deli in Woodburn, Connecticut. Deli restaurant just off the Merritt Parkway, so in case you guys are out there looking for it. And oh my gosh, she says their pastrami on rye almost made me cry. West Coast pastrami doesn't even look like the real thing.
I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know that I'm not qualified to respond.
Right?
Sorry.
So her point is, if you ever get to Essex, Massachusetts, do not miss the Village restaurant. Baskets of fried clams to haddock baked with blue cheese. There wasn't even room for ice cream. And then they went back home to the Pacific Northwest. And this is a really cute ending paragraph. I had to wait 2 days until we were home, and my dentist discovered a challenging cavity before I could visit our local fast food chain, Arctic Circle.
I love them!
I wouldn't be able to chew much for a couple of days, so I allowed myself one of their large coffee milkshakes, clicked my heels 3 times in sheer pleasure, and was overjoyed to be home.
Yeah.
But I mean, see how she did that? She started out like, here I am on the East Coast. This is awesome. All this awesome food. And guess what? There's no place like home, which is the Pacific Northwest. So that I just, thank you, Lee.
I want to know why she has an Arctic Circle near her and I don't have one near me.
I don't know.
I object to that. Not that she doesn't deserve it, because yeah, thumbs up. Everybody deserves the Arctic Circle, but dude, why don't I have one?
I think you should lodge a complaint with Arctic Circle,
or maybe
make a suggestion.
Every time we go anywhere near my hometown where I grew up, have to stop at the Arctic Circle. Have to.
That sounds legit. I have not been to one. So,
oh my God! I'm so sad for you right now. I got really loud. Oh my goodness. I'm very sorry. Okay. You have to go. If you ever are in Nampa, Idaho, you can go there. Apparently you can go to Lincoln City.
Nampa, Idaho. What the fuck? Why didn't I go?
I don't know. Why didn't you go?
Probably. What a dumbass I am. Now I have to look it up and see where we can find
them. You really do. You really, really do. And when we talk about Arctic Circle, we're not just talking about the North Pole. Just saying.
Locations. Look at that. I'm on the website. I'm going to tell y'all
where we can go. There used to be some in Portland. But
that's one in beautiful Utah. I could drive over there and get me some.
I don't know that I would go to Utah for... Well, would go to Utah for lots of reasons.
Oregon, Washington. Oh, Yakima. There you go.
I'm not going to Yakima.
Oh my God, dude, there are locations in Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah, see? You can go. You can
trip, y'all.
You can trip, have y'all. This. You can. I mean, there's lots of locations.
Utah and Idaho have the most locations. Why is that? Is it local to
I don't know.
Idaho?
I don't know the history. I just know that there was one where I grew up.
In Utah, 36. and 20 in Idaho?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I think the, Arctic Circle to me feels like, have you ever been to Arunza in Nebraska?
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you have to go to Runza next time you're in Nebraska. And, because everybody in Nebraska will tell you how amazing it is, and they make these sandwiches that are literally like this meat that they've slow cooked full with cabbage and other things. So it's like you're
Well,
eating
that
this
sounds like corned
sandwich.
beef.
Sounds like what?
It sounds kind of like a corned beef. Don't you cook corned beef with cabbage?
No, this isn't corned beef, right? I mean, there's a big difference. No,
Okay.
and this is like, and it's not just beef. It's like there are other kinds of meats, and you can get all different kinds of toppings on them. It's amazing. Runza is really good. You want to go there, but
So
it's
y'all,
like a
I'm going to spell
Nebraska
that for
thing.
you. Runza.
Yeah.
And I actually have a good friend in Lincoln, so I may have to do that.
Yeah,
Okay.
well, I'm surprised your good friend in Lincoln hasn't like told you about this. I
I know,
feel,
right? What the hell, good friend in Lincoln?
yeah, I
Get
feel
on.
like your friend has really dropped the ball on this, 'cause I mean, they're in Nebraska. There's one in Colorado between Fort Collins and Denver.
Wish I have missed out.
Yeah, there's Kansas City. They're in Kansas, obviously. There's some in Missouri. But Nebraska, that's the big one.
Okay. It seems like you should probably go to the one in Nebraska, right, to kind of get the full effect.
I think that they're the same regardless. I don't know. And you got to order frings when you go, because
Okay.
frings are
That
like
sounds good.
their mix of you get fries and onion rings.
Oh, for
Frings.
real? That sounds super good. Okay.
Frings. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't mess with the frings. They're amazing.
Don't mess with frings, y'all.
I'm looking at the menu, and like, seriously, Runza is a reason to go to Nebraska.
Well, I was just looking at the menu for Arctic Circle.
Oh my God, they have finger steaks. If y'all haven't had finger steaks, you do not know what you're
Get
missing.
on
It's
that, man.
so hard to find them. So hard. Yeah. And they make them right. Like I found one place locally here, it's actually in Camas, not Vancouver, that makes finger steaks, and they always overcook the fuckers. So
Well, that ain't
if
right.
you're ever near an Arctic Circle, get the finger
I
steaks.
know, I'm like jonesing now for the halibut.
Oh yeah, they got good fish. They got good everything, and they've
Super.
got good
Okay,
ice
good everything.
cream. They've got good, and they have fry sauce. They have legit fry sauce.
Oh, shut the front door. Yep, there that is. Yep, okay. All
Yeah. So.
right, there you go. That's what we're doing. Road trip.
Yeah. Please.
All right. Thank you, Lee, for starting us off on that tangent. There we were in the weeds for a minute. August 28th, Jove, you actually
I
blocked.
did. This is like I blogged last month too. That's like two
Tell us
months in a
about it.
row.
Tell us
Oh,
about it.
no. I just, I feel bad because I never blog, so I decided I'm going to start doing like a top five for whatever. And this
Okay.
one was my top five ways that I could, preserve my sanity in the summer months, because my sanity is at a premium in the best of times. And in the summer, when my house is full of children and noise, it's a challenge. So I just, five things that keep me sane in the summertime. So
Right, well, tell us. Damn
my
it.
number one is audiobooks. It's a lot harder to hear your kids making noise when you've got earbuds in. Happy Hour at Sonic. If y'all don't know about Happy Hour at Sonic, what is wrong with you, first of all? Second, Sonic has slushes. And if you've never had a
Oh, I love
slush,
slushes. Oh
yeah,
my
something's missing in your life if you've never had a slush.
God.
And if you go during happy hour, they're half price. So, yeah.
I like the blue slushes, the blue raspberry
Oh,
ones.
I'm all about the cherry limeade slush. Yeah. And
Those are
the
legit too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you can mix a drink that with lime and cherry, I'm all over that. I am on board.
Delish.
And then my third thing was the farmers market, because we have a really cool local farmers market here in Vancouver, and they're there, every weekend from like March to December, which is cool considering how much rain we get in this state. So And there's always, you know, there's always bands performing. There's always some other festival going on in the adjacent park. There's tons of street performers. And there's this fabulous old couple. I think they're German. They tell stories. I think German. And they make these wonderful cheesy bread things. So there's like, picture like a breadstick, only about 3 times wider than a normal breadstick and about 18 inches long.
Oh my God, that sounds legit.
And it's like, you can get like the 5 cheese kind or you can get the cheddar kind, and they're like $3. Yeah.
Oh my God, for
and then
real.
As you walk around the farmer's market eating your bread with like a big fucking smile on your face, strangers come up to you and ask where you bought
Where'd you get that bread?
They're jealous and they want some. Because it's really fucking good. We also buy all of our like hand soap from the farmer's market from a lady there who's her husband is the artisan. He makes goat's milk soaps.
Oh, and, yeah, totally.
And she runs the business where she sells it. And she makes some candles and stuff. She's hysterical. She's just really funny. She likes to joke with the lesbians. Yeah, she tells us that she likes to joke with the lesbians.
Aww.
Probably because we are the lesbians.
With us.
Yeah, it's pretty.
With the two lesbians.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, she said something one time, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's why we like you, or that's why we love you, because that's something I would say. Because we love you, right? Like I would say that. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm so going home and telling my husband that the lesbians love me. It's funny.
Lesbians love certain allies.
Yeah. Oh, I love her.
Actually, I try to love all allies, but some in particular are just so ally that they're just like almost lesbians.
They
almost queer themselves.
I try to love everybody until they give me a reason not to.
Exactly.
Anyway, my number four thing was the Craft Warehouse, which is a local company.
Yes.
And they do little projects twice a week. You can take... you know, whoever in, like you can go as an adult or you can take your kids in and they'll teach you how to make whatever it is. Like we painted birdhouses one time. One time we made little planters with succulents in it. We've done tie-dye t-shirts. They just do a ton of different stuff, right? Every week, twice a week they do this. And every location does it. So you have like for us, that gives us like three different locations. So 6 different possible activities for the week, right? And they're cheap. It's like $5.
That is so cool, though. Yeah.
They're not all $5. Some of them are 6. Some of them are 3. Like the birdhouses was like $3, right? That's cool.
Oh my God.
And they provide you with everything, right? Like so you walk in with nothing, and when you walk out with a whatever completed project, a T-shirt that has been tie dyed, right? Like the project $5, you get the T-shirt and the dye, and they teach you how to make it into a tie dye. Yeah.
That is so much fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a very cool thing, and you know they do it all year round. But in the summertime, when you've got your kids going, why can't we go do something? This is a really cool, fun thing that gives them like an activity that also potentially teaches them something that isn't ridiculously expensive. You know, craft stores and the local library. Those are the two places that will really hook you up in the summertime.
I fucking agree.
Oh, and your local theater. Local theater does good things for parents.
Yes, totally.
And the bowling alleys. You can get free bowling, too. So, parents, I got the hookup.
Parents.
And then
got it.
My final thing is air conditioning. Because...
oh, fuck yeah.
I don't care what else I'm doing. If the air conditioning's on, I will love it just a little bit more. So, yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm not sure that this is really like on target for women in words, like our mission, but that's what I blogged about. So there you go.
I think it's legit.
I felt good. I'm a woman.
It.
My sanity is important for me to have words.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on.
I was trying to figure out stuff that keeps me sane, but I think you hit a lot of them.
Oh, I think that you do like, don't you do like acupuncture and
I do.
You
and
do
I
like
out.
Hiking and stuff.
Work
yeah.
Out quite a, yeah. Yeah.
I do that stuff too, but I'm a lot less dedicated to it. You do it more frequently. And you also, I think writing keeps you sane.
Writing does keep me sane.
Yeah. Mine's more like consuming stories keeps me sane. Like I'm a I like to read. Yeah.
Which is fine, man. I mean, I love to get reading in too. And you know, I have like my fangirl shows that I watch and some movies. I love movies. So that's other things that keep me reasonably sane. Yeah. Or grounded. Perhaps that's the word we want.
No, sane is the word I want.
I think that works better for you.
Oh, it totally does. I'm highly medicated. There's a reason, dear listener. And, you know, whatever other tools I need to employ in order to not be insane, I will definitely. And when I say insane, I literally mean that. My family has a long, rich, and deep history of mental health problems. So, yes.
So we have to do what we have to do to keep ourselves present and in the moment and healthy as best as we can. And for some of us, that, you know, it involves what you do. And for others, it involves like communing with nature, whatever the fuck it is. Whatever it is, friends, make sure it's good for you, that it makes you feel good, and that it's healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's our mental health tip for the week.
Yeah. That was good. You summed that up nicely.
Andy says as she sits here and sips her bourbon.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You could pretend it's wine and then you'd be just fine.
Sometimes, dear listener, sometimes the week just calls for bourbon. I don't know what else to tell you.
I think your week calls for bourbon a lot. Definitely more frequently than my week ever calls
for
bourbon.
I don't know. When the kids are home, you have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, but I don't drink bourbon.
But I'm just saying that, you know, if other people who drank bourbon were in the situation that you're in on the day-to-day with your kids and all the things you have to do, they would probably drink bourbon every night as opposed to Fridays like I do.
I think I actually have some bourbon in my house, if that, you know, I think. Not good bourbon.
Yeah, good stuff.
Commodity to trade in the event of the apocalypse.
Exactly.
Bourbon.
And I keep a lot of liquor on hand for that. Because, you know, shit hits the fan. I've got shit tons of toilet paper and bourbon and alcohol to trade.
Yeah, we have alcohol, and not just in like the bottles, like the fifths, right? In those little like $1.99 airport bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you want, folks.
Same. I've got those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we're smart like that.
So, dear listener, there's your apoco tip.
Oh, that's what I should blog about.
There you go.
Oh my
Five
god.
Top apoco tips.
Oh my god. Yeah,
you
that's
and I
awesome.
Both. We'll do that.
That's awesome.
All right.
I just screamed. All right, that was probably painful for people to listen to. Sorry, folks.
That was awesome, y'all. Okay. August 29th, we were joined by Katie Williamson. I love it when Katie stops by.
No, you and me both.
This was a serious blog for Katie because Katie had a recent health scare, and her wife is going through a somewhat of a health scare right now. And the title of this blog is The Fear Inside. And this is something I think that all of us can relate to. Katie points out that, you know, when she is running around on the internet, she points out that you can be whoever you want to be. You can just become somebody else. But Katie is herself pretty much on the internet. She just says what she's going to say. And she says things as a lesbian author that would probably cause some readers to abandon her, and probably has in the past. And she says she's okay with that.
She's very authentic. Because, she doesn't pull punches to make other people feel better.
She just bullshit people. She does not bullshit people.
Yeah.
And she says she's okay with that because those little tidbits I post on Twitter, she says, and Facebook are usually things I believe or things I laugh at. In short, I'm sharing myself with you. And if you were here, I might be sharing my pumpkin spice mini crawlers with you as well. Maybe. Mm. So sharing a bit of herself. And she says there have only been a few times in her life where she was terrified. The first one, coming out to her family. And she says, my sister, bless her heart, had been waiting for me to tell her, so it wasn't news. My mom didn't take it so well. It took a while, but eventually the situation calmed, and now there is acceptance. And I'll never forget the way my heart beat so hard, and I'm pretty sure my intestines had tied themselves into knots. I was sweating so much, my glasses fogged up, but I got through it. I said the words and I was better for it. The second time she was terrified was when she discovered lumps in her breast at the age of 28. I tried to reassure myself that because of my age, the odds were in my favor. I remember telling my aunt, who was fighting breast cancer, thinking she could identify with my fears, but the only thing that stuck out was her telling me that maybe it happened because of my lifestyle, i.e.
being gay. Because she's gay?
Right. So she says, I cried. I raged more because of her statement than anything at that point, but when I went to have a mammogram, the radiologist tagged one large one as highly suspicious, so much so that a biopsy was recommended. I lived in New Jersey at the time. Our apartment was a block away from the Atlantic City boardwalk. During that first biopsy, I shook like a leaf, but watched the whole thing. I even had to alert them when they went deeper in my breast tissue that I could feel the needle. The doctor had to pull it out and administer more of the local anesthetic. She apologized profusely. I have large breasts, and on that day, I burned it in my memory that it took more anesthetic to numb me than usual. To my sweet relief, the area was benign. The third time, I was scared shitless. Was when my mother told me she had breast cancer for the first time. I can still remember exactly what I was doing. I was in Metairie, Louisiana, standing in front of East Jefferson General Hospital, waiting for the bus to take me back to my apartment. It was searing hot that day, but I walked the curvature of the front driveway at least four times as we talked. I don't know how I breathed or how I functioned, but I did. The pit that settled in my stomach, as she outlined how she found the lumps in her armpit, became a gaping maw by the time she expressed how fast they grew. The bus was so fucking late, and I couldn't hold myself up anymore to wait, so I called a cab. Eventually, she and we, meaning my family, overcame this as well. The fourth time was when my mom was virtually on her deathbed, not from cancer. She'd beaten it twice. It was because of an autoimmune disease, sarcoidosis, which had decimated her lungs, and my mother started talking to me about the papers I needed to sign according to her will in order to receive whatever she was bequeathing me. I was numb. I went through the motions, and when I thawed, I was angry and irritable because I could do nothing. Somehow, and through some medical miracle, they found an experimental treatment that worked for her. She recovered and just turned 65. In the interest of time and space, I'm going to cram these last situations together. It doesn't make it any less catastrophic. My wife recently had surgery, and having to sit there and wait pulled every nerve taut. It didn't help that she told me on the ride there that I would be allowed to grieve for a year, and then she was sure one of my many fans would volunteer to take care of me. It didn't help that she informed me exactly how much her insurance policy was. So, of course, my mind went to the worst. However, she pulled through, even though she's having some complications. And finally, since my first biopsy, the next 20 years has led to a total of six. The last one was a couple weeks ago. You'd think I'd become used to it, but each and every time is like the first one. Sheer terror. I become pragmatic and expect the worst, even though there's always a chance I'll get the best. I've been lucky, but I'm human. Behind the words I write, I am a human with feelings and with a life just as complicated, just as happy, and just as occasionally shitty as everyone else.
Damn right.
And Katie actually texted me when she found out she had to have this most recent biopsy because I've been through it myself. For those of you who don't know, dear listener, I've been open about this. I was diagnosed with ductal carcinoma in situ in my left breast about... what is it? Almost 8 years now, Jove.
Mm-hmm.
About 8 years ago, and I had a mastectomy, and since then I have had to undergo two, maybe three biopsies in my remaining breast, and it never fucking gets easier. It never gets easier. So Katie knew that I would totally understand where she was coming from on that, and so I offered, you know, my good mojo, and she kept me posted, and then she announced publicly that she had the biopsy and that everything turned out fine.
Yeah.
That's some hard shit right there.
Yeah, every year you're freaked out about it. I don't know how that could possibly get easier, especially when you've already dealt with it.
It does not get easier. I mean... I remember it was like a year after my mastectomy, and I have dense tissue in, I mean, the breast that's now gone had this as well. My breasts had dense tissue. And so the year after my mastectomy, they were checking the other breast and found a suspicious spot. And I told them, I said, actually, if I had my other tit, you would see that there is an exact mirror image of that suspicious spot on the other tit. It's a really dense, like, kind of tissue that I've always had my entire life. But because of my history, they wanted to do a biopsy. So I was like, fuck, all right. So I went back into the, you know, I hadn't met the doctor who was going to do the biopsy. And so they walked me back there, and here's the doctor to do the biopsy. She had to be like the most stone-faced woman I've ever met in my life. I mean, what the fuck? And so I walk in there, and I'm like, man, you guys, every time I come in here, I lose a tit. What is this about? And the nurse kind of started going, but the doctor just like gave me this look like, I was just like, what? Come on.
Like, you are not clearly taking this seriously enough.
Clearly, well, maybe. And I thought about maybe she had a horrible time. Maybe she had to give really bad news to other patients. And so she was just like not in the space for to deal with my smarmy ass. So I forgave her. She did a great job on the biopsy. And there you go. And you know what they do when they do a biopsy on a spot? They like inject a tiny little marker into your breast tissue so that in the future the mammogram picks it up and notices that, oh, you've had that spot biopsied. So there's a tiny little piece of metal that marks that spot.
Yeah, so here's the thing about me and other people who don't understand my sense of humor. I judge those people harshly. So you're being very, very kind when you say
that. But we don't know. Yeah. Maybe she had to give somebody horrible news. We don't fucking know.
I don't care. I judge harshly every time. Clearly, there's something wrong with people if they don't laugh when I'm laughing.
Well, I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. Every time I come back here, I lose a tit. Come on, you guys.
It's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
But they did not. I mean, so, and most people who do that kind of humor when they're going through that, it's to make themselves feel better.
Right.
Doing that makes me feel better. Yeah. So, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's totally a coping mechanism. Definitely.
And the last time I had a biopsy was last year.
Yeah.
I think it was last year. And that crew was awesome. That was an awesome crew, and they had this new machine that they do a biopsy on now, and it was all this newfangled stuff, but delightful medical team, just really great. And you know, they just made me feel like really good. So, and everything was great, everything was fine, folks. So, you know, don't worry.
Yeah, Katie, we will be crossing our fingers, right? She's still waiting on results, right?
No, she got them.
I thought
she posted. She posted that it's good.
Oh, God. Sorry, dude. I spaced a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she posted it on social media. All clear.
Thank you. That makes me happy.
Yeah, so we can mellow out.
Because, you know, you pay attention to social media, which makes you better at comforting people about these things, because I don't know what's going on.
Katie would have. You know, she texts me too and lets me know what's happening. So yeah,
she usually just texts me to yell about, you know, things that have to do with writing.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I get the bitch please, what do you want with this? I get that stuff. So, and that's okay. That's our relationship.
But I think that's, you know, and I was pretty open about it when I was going through all the tit stuff, as I call it. And, you know, I blogged about it on social media. I blogged about it at Women in Words and on my personal site. It was no big secret, and I was lucky because even though it required that I lose my tit, I didn't have to go through radiation or chemo, and it was basically staged at zero, but there were problematic cells in the milk ducts throughout my breast, so I couldn't have a lumpectomy. I had to have the whole thing removed. So, but I was lucky. I was really fucking lucky, and yeah.
Yeah, so this thing that you just did, that's really depressing. We're going to need to move on.
Well, but I think it's really cool how authentic Katie is online.
Yes, absolutely. That, you know,
what you see is what you get. That's Katie. And I love it when authors, I think sometimes people forget that people who are living more in the public eye, like authors or celebrities or whatever, that they too have lives behind that that involve the same things that everybody goes through.
Yeah.
Fear, love, hurt, pain, anger, exhaustion, illness. They're all going through it too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and when I say that it was depressing and we should move on, that's just me being bad at coping with things like emotions. It's really important that, you know, she talks about it too. Because I don't think, you know, cancer is such a common thing now that I think we discount how incredibly isolating that diagnosis is. Like, your world becomes very finite, and the people who you thought were a part of your life, maybe you learn that some of them really aren't. And that's, yeah. So, you know, writing about it, I think, is really important. And we need to talk about something else because I'm going to cry. Moving on.
We don't want you to cry.
We do not want me to cry.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you so much. And you'll all be happy to know that on August 30th, Katie blogged with us again.
Whoop whoop.
And the title of this blog is PSS. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. It's my shorthand way of introducing fall. It means pumpkin spice shit.
Oh, okay.
It's that time. I thought I'd make this blog nice and light and as bubbly as I can get. Which isn't much, mind you. First, I'll talk about the good pumpkin spice shit, which is a matter of opinion, I know. Then I'll break ground on the horrifying mess that occurs when things are taken way too far. The good stuff. Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. I can honestly say, dear listeners, that I have never had one of these. Nor have I ever wanted to have one of these. But if you like them, you do you.
Yeah, I've never had one, but that's because I don't like coffee.
I am neutral about pumpkin. I am not a huge raving fan, and I don't hate it. It's just I don't really care about it one way or the other. So pumpkin spice candles, I agree. I do like those, how those smell. Pumpkin spice coffee. Pumpkin spice pancakes and waffle mix. Pumpkin spice chocolate. Yeah, that stuff. I have had that, and that's not bad.
You know pumpkin what? You know what Tara's thing is?
Oh, God, what?
When Dairy Queen gets pumpkin ice cream in the fall every year.
Oh, they do? I didn't even know that.
There. Yeah, she like watches for it. I don't know. I won't eat the shit. It's pumpkin. You can't make me eat that.
But Katie says these pumpkin spice crullers are really good, and I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about that.
You know, no. Mm-mm. It's pumpkin. I'm not in.
I'm not, yeah. Okay, no. So Katie says it's great that these things are introduced for a limited time. This is true, because you will get sick of them. She's right. Mm-hmm. She says, verily, I started on pumpkin spice creamer 2 weeks ago, and I already have to take a break. After a while, it starts to taste like rancid cinnamon milk with a pinch of nutmeg. I have to say, though, one of my favorite things to make are pumpkin spice biscuits, which is a combination of Bisquick, real pumpkin, the usual spices, and Cool Whip. I top them with apple butter. I top my pumpkin pancakes and waffles with a slather of apple butter, and I'm not ashamed to say. That sounds kind of good, actually.
I just love the fact that she cooks and wants to tell us about it.
Right?
And she uses now words like slather.
Slather is such a great word. And now, friends, dear listeners, these are the things that make her doubt humanity's chances of survival. Pumpkin spice gum. Pumpkin spice protein powder. What?
Yeah, that's
pumpkin
wrong.
Spice tortilla chips. No, 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 no. Pumpkin spice fettuccine noodles. No. Pumpkin spice Pringles. Oh my God, help me. Shampoo and lotion. And in parentheses, she writes, "Who the fuck wants to go around smelling like candles?" This is a good point. Thank you, Katie, for pointing that out. Pumpkin spice peanut butter, y'all. No, just stop. Just stop.
I kind of want to throw up right now.
Okay, gross. She says, I'm not making any of this up. If some of you readers are enticed by anything on this list, something is wrong with you. You are not my friends and deserve to live on your own island surrounded by pumpkin spice water, pumpkin spice coconuts, and pumpkin spice fish to roast over your pumpkin spice scented fire. Good day.
I said good day. Thank you.
I so feel this blog. I'm writing that down.
I only halfway feel it, so I can't write that.
Okay. So, Joe, that's it.
That's it? Okay, so I have a couple of things, First of all, I'm going to let people know that September is rapidly approaching. I think by the time this goes live, it will actually be September 1st.
Oh, so fuck.
September is when Andy and I start rounding things up for the Hootenanny. And for those of you who don't know what the Hootenanny is, the Hootenanny is a 12-day event in December wherein Women in Words, the blog, not the podcast, gives away a whole fuck ton of books every day. And when I say we give them away, that's not true. We don't. Authors give them away. We just simply provide a platform, right?
We're the vehicle.
Yes. And I will be posting a sign-up sheet for authors to sign up to contribute books to the giveaway. And publishers participate as well. And you know what? I love people and their generosity and their kindness during this time of the year. So just a heads up, that's coming. If you want to donate something, it's on the way. Yeah, that's one heads up. The Women in Weeds that we talked about.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, so cool. I want to design a t-shirt, I think, for a Women in Weeds t-shirt. And I've been thinking about this and what this means. And I think that... if we are at GCLS again, like, are you going this upcoming year?
Yeah.
We should have a deal where if people, like, wear their Women in Words t-shirt and come see us, maybe we'll give them a new Women in Weeds t-shirt.
That could be kind of awesome.
Right? Get a little free t-shirt. Who wouldn't mm-hmm. want that?
I can't imagine anyone who would not want that.
I want that.
I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So and we work for Women in Words in our own special way. Yeah. So and we would totally wear that.
Work is such a loose term.
Such a who knows what exactly that means.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, that's that. Oh, and just in case anybody else is interested, there's a website called Yes We Vibe. Yes We Vibe. Like three words. .com
uh-huh.
And they sell all sorts of like really badass, you know, stuff like boots with the chakras on them and stuff like that, like just cool stuff. And they have a buy one get one free sale right now. So,
oh my god,
yeah,
what,
yeah, I
did you want to like go over like the housekeeping that we tried to do twice last?
I don't think I do. I don't have it in me. I'll do it next. I'll do it another time.
Well, I'm just gonna say up front, if folks go to our website at womenwords.org and you look at that contact us stuff and you look at the drop down menu, there's all kinds of cool shit here. Be our guest. You can fill out a form and be our guest. You can click the advertise and advertise with us $5 a month. And that money goes to help fund prizes at the Hootenanny. Jove and I do not make any money off this. It's not for us. It's not for us to go eat ice cream with Lee Lynch as much as we would love to do that.
We would. That's, we would love to do that.
And there's a t-shirt order form. So all of that is there under the contact us link. Okay, it's easy peasy. And if you decide to just contact us randomly, you just hit the contact part. Boom.
Bam.
And you talk right to us.
Yeah, if you do that, you get Andy.
You get me. I'm the one that gets to respond to you.
Yeah. And if
so, if you're a Joe fangirl, I'm sorry. I'll forward it to her and then then she'll talk to you.
You know what? I'm fragile. I don't need to be exposed to other people's unfiltered thoughts about me. That I need a handler on that, and I'm really glad that I've you as a buffer between me and
the world.
Yeah. Anyway, dear listener, this has been the Week in Review for Women in Words. I am Jove Bell here today with my friend Andy Marquette. You can find us online at womenwords.org. And since you've listened for this long, it's been an hour, folks. That's a podcast. We're still talking. Since you've listened this long, we think maybe you like us. So why don't you leave a like or a subscribe or a review or a rating or any of those things, any combination of those things on the platform where you listen to us to help the other lesbians of the internet to find us. That would be fabulous. Until next week, thank you for listening.